John chapter 14, verse 11 and verse 11 to 14. John 14, 11 to 14. Please, it's going to be a study. All right, let's study together. If we put it together in two chapters, so that we can just read it together. Thank you. Look at what Jesus said here. Jesus speaking. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works, we're going to come back there in our you know, studies, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this he will do, because I go to my Father. Notice that, all right? So Jesus was saying that in anticipation, all right, in the view that he's going to the Father, and simply put, that would be the fact that he will resurrect, right? That would be his resurrection. All right, we're going to come back to that in this study. Verse 13 and 14. See what it says. Haha. So because I will resurrect, because I will go to my Father, all right, see what it says. It says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. So it says, if you ask anything in his name, he will be the one to do it. Notice, he will be the one to do it. Amen. All right. Now, that word ask there is the word, connotes more of a demand. All right. Now, there's prayer, what that we do. All right. Where we say, Father, Lord, in the name, there's Father, there's Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for. All right. Yeah, there is that prayer, but that ask there. That's not what it's saying. That word there is aiteo. Leave the Greek. All right. But what it means is where you place a demand. So it means that in the name of Jesus, all right, or by the name of Jesus, we can place a demand. And that's what we do many times, all right? There is that prayer, quote and unquote, where we place a demand. That these are the, like what we've said for Ryan this morning, that these are the things that will happen to you. In the name, all right? You can, so when we say we insist, we don't just insist by shared determination or being, making up your mind. No, you can insist by your word. These are the things that will happen in the name of Jesus. So you can place a demand. So that's what he's saying there. All right. He says, where you place a demand in my name, I will be the one to do it. All right. In his name. Okay. That's one. Let's see John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. John, again, talking to us here. John 16, 23 and 24. Look at this again. And in that day. So what day is this? This will be the day he has resurrected. Oh, all right. So we're beginning to read some things now about that name and resurrection. We won't get there today. Maybe in our subsequent study. All right. There's something about the name of Jesus and him rising up from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. He says, and in that day. All right. That day will be the day of his resurrection. He says, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name. So this asking here, all right, is erato. All right. Or is it erato? Let me get the word right. Erotao. Sorry. Erotao. All right. It's more of prayer. All right. So this is where we pray. That in the name of Jesus, Lord, so you can ask the Father. So we do ask God things, and he does, all right? But then there's the privilege, there's the right that we have as sons of God, as believers, where we can place a demand. We can place, in the name of Jesus, we place that demand on our health, on our finances, on our lives, on our career, on our family. Think about it. You can place it in a community. You can place a demand. You can see that child and speak words, place a demand. Hallelujah. He says, we ask the Father in my name and he will give you. He says, until now, you've asked me nothing. You've asked nothing in my name. He says, ask and you will receive. Ha, I like that. Not that you may. Maybe You understand? It's not me. It's definite. And you will receive. And when you receive, what happens? Our joy definitely is indeed full. Praise God. Now, let's see some more. We are reading about the name of Jesus. So we can demand in the name of Jesus. You can ask, pray, request in the name of Jesus. Definitely. All right. Now, Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Mark 16, 17. We want to see some more. What else can we do in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. So if we put it together in twos, I think it gets up to 17. Do we have 18 there? Just so we read. Praise God. Look at that. Ha, 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 ha. I like this. All right. So again, look at what Jesus said here. And these signs will follow those who believe. How many of us are believers here? I believe Jesus. I do. Like Oluwatoyin encouraged us this morning. I'm persuaded. I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. See what he said. He says, in my name. Whew. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. And the sick will recover. All right. Now, those are the things we can do, all right, and many more, all right, that we can do in the name of Jesus. Place a demand, make a request, ask, you know, in the name of Jesus. These are the things we can do in the name of Jesus. But then the question will come, what about this name that makes it so powerful? Hallelujah. What about the name of Jesus that makes it so potent? So powerful, so absolute. Hallelujah. All right. You know, that causes things to happen when we mention that name. We just sang now that there's something special about that name. You know, something happens. All right. There's something supernatural. But what about it? You know, we can study it from God's word. All right. You know, how many of us we know? You know, it's a rhetoric. I know you know, but you know, how many of us you know that when we ask, when we know things, it's always an advantage. Knowledge any day, no matter how small that knowledge is. All right? I used to say it. This phone or this device in the hand of an 80-year-old woman, maybe man, anybody, 80-year-old or something, someone elderly, or any illiterate, okay? Because it's not really about age. But that does not really know anything about all the things that this device can do. You know, it's not as powerful as this same device in the hands of the Gen Zs. Thank you. All right. You'd be surprised at the things they can do. And much more than the Gen Z. You know, some people, they are all their business is here. All the transactions, all the trading, all the investments. This is where they do it. All right, you think it's just a device. Well, it's the same device, same Samsung. All right, but yet what they do on this phone, it is because of knowledge. So the name of Jesus is available to everyone. And what we're trying to do today is to make ourselves aware. Because if we don't know that name, if we don't know the usage, the potency of that name, then we begin to doubt it. Then we begin to not, you know, maximize or optimize that name. And that's what we're trying to do with this study, to know this name. What about this name that makes it so powerful, so that causes things to happen the way they do? All right, we must understand it. All right, because if you don't know, then we cannot fully walk in the power of that name. Let's read some more about this name. Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. You know, I just want us to see again. See what Jesus said. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Oh, look at that. All right. He says, go therefore. All right. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Again, we've clarified this, all right? I won't take too much time there, but it is in the name of Jesus, okay? In the name of Jesus. Let's move on quickly, all right? He says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. Praise the Lord. So what about this name? All right. See, we're going to arrive at that answer together. You know, let me say this. All right. I want us to engage our minds. All right. It will help us to study your Bible, help you to study your Bible when you are on your own as well. It helps you to put things together in the scripture. All right. We can jump the answer that this is the name. It's okay to do that at times. But we can together go through God's word, understand what it says. All right. It will help us to better appreciate, all right, the knowledge that is in God's word. So we're going to study together. All right. And arrive at the answer, at the truth about the name of Jesus Christ. All right. Because we are about to do some study in the time that we have left. Okay. You know, I don't want us to be passive Christians. And I say this with very, you know, carefully. You know, some passive Christian, we find the things that we do at Believers Household Church very difficult. That, oh, okay, it's just Bible. All right. But please, no, there is more to you being a Christian. There is a lot. All right. And I want us to have a hang of it to know it. Praise God. All right. So let's study together. Let's think together and let's grow together. I wrote something here that, you know, nobody grows by accident. All right. We must grow deliberately. If we're going to grow, it requires engagement with God's word. So I, like I've said earlier, please, I encourage you to stay. Let's study God's word together. Amen. So let's quickly do some bits today in God's word and see. So what about names? All right. Particularly in God's word. What about names? All right. I wrote here, I said, names, they carry deep significance in the Bible. Names, they carry deep significance in the Bible. And names, let's take it now. Names represent position, function, and people's experiences. Now, I'm not preaching about you changing your name. That's not the point, okay? Because at the end of this study, you will get to know that it may not be needed. We get to know, okay? Let's try. So, I want us to know that names, they carry deep significance in the Bible, all right? And they represent the position, all right? A position, a function, and experience, you know, of course, our parents do that. Maybe they, you know, that's an experience or circumstance that surrounds the giving birth to that child. All right. We name him, you know, based on that experience. All right. Or maybe there's something you're projecting for that child. You give him a name based on that. Hallelujah. So names generally, all right, they carry deep significance in the Bible. Now, let's just go through maybe one or two of them, maybe three. Adam, for example, the man called Adam. All right. So, you know, Adam, it means man. You know, Adam is the name for all mankind. Praise God. Adam is not the name for, it's not necessarily the name for the man, the main man. All right. Adam is the name for mankind. That's what it means, all right? Actually, in Hebrew, it means, the name Adam means the face of blood, all right? So when you see flesh and blood, when you see human beings, this is how they look like a prototype, all right? So it means that is their face. This is their face, what do you call the face? An ambassador, a prototype, the face of man. Oh, sorry, better put, the face of blood. That's what it means, all right? Adam, all right? So that name, Adam, it carries the significance of Adam being a progenitor, being a prototype, being the, you know, yeah, being the one whom, you know, the one from whom others will be produced. All right. So every man that will produce now will look like this man, Adam. All right. And when God created that man, that Adam, he says male and female created in them. All right. So Adam is male and female. All right. We now have man Adam. We have female Adam. Hallelujah. All right. So that's the significance of that name. All right. So, and this is why we call Jesus. This is why we call Jesus the last Adam of that kind. All right. So we have the first Adam. Please pay attention. We have the first Adam. That's Adam. Then we have Adams, okay, we have mankind until Jesus, because Jesus came, all right, from, you know, came in that, and he became the last Adam of that natural type, okay? Then, again, we call Jesus the second Adam, all right? Notice it's not the last. If you had to call a second Adam after the line of Adam, maybe Abel or Cain, all right, will be the second because it came from Adam. But then we have Jesus, who is the second kind of Adam. All right. So Jesus, again, in that sense, became the progenitor of a new set, a new kind of man. All right. A new kind of people, a new kind of race. That's why it says that that man must be born again after the second Adam. Hallelujah. What are we trying to say? We're saying that names in the Bible, it's got significance. So Adam is not just Adam because, you know, we want to name him. No, that name, all right, carries the significance of him being a prototype, a progenitor, the face of blood. Hallelujah. Let's look at Eve as well. We're just getting to know, introduce this topic to ourselves today. Eve, all right? Don't forget, Eve also is Adam, all right? So it was called Eve because she will be the one to carry man. All right. Simply put, it means, you know, Eve means womb. All right. A mother. All right. And I'm just going to say something here and move on quickly. All right. And man will come from man. The man from whom man will come from is that Eve. Simply put. All right. The one through whom man will come into this world. Hallelujah. All right. So you see, Eve bears that name because of her function. Hallelujah. All right, because of our function, hallelujah. Now, let's just move on from there quickly. And I think I said it last week. We're going to study that in a different study. All right, that the word man or woman, all right, is physical. It's physical. All right, it carries no, let me tell you what I mean by that. There's no spiritual woman. All right, there's no spirit woman. That's there's no spirit that is a woman. And we have the same spirit. All right? Mm-hmm. So, and again, there's no spirit, there's no soul that is a woman. Are you getting the point? Or that is a man. All right? It is just man. It is just mankind. All right? That's why it says they don't marry in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's move on. All right, quickly. So let's just have that at the back of our mind. All right, now let's just consider another one. Abraham, the name of Abraham. We are looking at the significance of name before we get into some study again today. Praise God. So Abraham, before he was called Abraham, he was called Abram. All right, you know. Abram, and Abram means an assumed father. Assumed father. All right. But then when he met God, let's read from Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. I'm just trying to, get to the meat of what we want to discuss today. Praise God. Genesis 17, verse 1 to 5. So if you do two verses per time, it will help. Thank you. So look at that name there. When Abram, so at this point, it was called Abram, okay? And the meaning of Abram is assumed father. He's not a father in that sense, but we can assume, all right, that he's a father, okay? But then when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared. Oh, we're going to come back here again. It's beginning to get interesting. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Okay? Verse 3 and 4. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, we're coming back there. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And you shall be a father of men. Now, it won't be an assumed father. You won't be an assumed father anymore. All right? You will be, all right, a father of many nations. Now, look at it in verse 5. Let's just read verse 5. no longer because of the function, all right? Because of my covenant that is with you, because of the function you will execute, Abraham, all right, or Abram, all right? No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So you see what has happened there. All right. God, so that the name of Abraham carries such significance. Names in God's word, names in the Bible, they carry, you know, a huge, deep significance. Now, again, I've said it once. I will come back to it again. I don't mean that we go change our names now. We get to that part of the study where we see that we have been subsumed in the name of Jesus. Okay? That name of Jesus is now our name. That's the essence of this study. That name of Jesus now, we have it by inheritance. Your surname, sir. You know, you didn't do anything you just inherited that name. All right? You were born into that name. All right? It is yours. All right? Yeah. So the name of Jesus now is now our name. All right? We were born, as many of us that have been born again, all right? And we've sang no name above that. That's our identity. Okay? So whether you are called that one or this one, so long you are a believer, you will have a name that is higher. Ah, praise God. And you know, Jesus Christ himself inherited that name. All right? Well, you will get to know that the Jesus that lived on this earth 33 years before he died, you know, we've read it earlier. There's something about that name that in that day when I'm resurrected, all right? So there's something about the name of Jesus, all right? When he was here for the 33 and a half years or thereabout, all right? And when he resurrected, we are going there in this study to know what about this name. We are not getting there today. I'm just giving us, just preempting it, all right? That we have a name now in Jesus Christ. And that name of Jesus, you won't want to know so that you can know your name. You know what has been attributed to you. You know the significance of the name that we bear in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We just need to see God is particular about names. And like I've said, I used to be this name. Now I'm changing. Well, he's seen it from this physical world. If you know that in the name of Jesus, that now in Christ Jesus, you have his name as your name. Let's move on quickly from there. I ran to my conclusion. Praise God. But let's move on quickly. Let's do some more study in God's word. So we've said names, they carry a huge significance, all right, in the Bible. Let's go to Exodus. Let's see, Exodus chapter 3 and 13 and 14. Exodus 3, 13 and 14. We're talking about the name of Jesus. We're looking at the significance of name. We've seen Adam. We've seen Eve. We've seen Abraham and many other names like that. Okay? But let's see Exodus. We're going to change the direction of our thoughts now as we talk more about the name of Jesus. Exodus 3, 13 and 14. Look at it. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, so the backstory here, what's his name? Moses had run away. He was trying to rescue a fellow Jew. He killed the other person, the Egyptian, in the process. The news went around. He thought, oh, I'm not saved. So he ran away. It will be 40 years. Think about 40 years. But let's leave that. All right. But then, so at this point now, God appeared to him, and then Moses said, I'm sending you to Egypt to go and deliver my people and all of those. So Moses began to engage God. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, again, let me just digress. You know, you can trust God. God is about to fulfill a promise that he gave Abraham 400 years ago. Hey, think about four. Now, you know, Abraham had gone. You can say, okay, Abraham, you're no more here. He's gone. But God is a faithful father. He's about to fulfill what he said to Abraham. Of course, we now know from our study, all right, and from reading the Bible together, it's from before the world began. All right, but particularly to Abraham in this case, he told him 400. Of course, at this point, it will be 430 years. All right, anyway, let's move on. All right, so I come, when I come to the children of Israel, what will I say to them? See what it says. It says, the God of your father. It says, say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What's the name? Now, does that not suggest to us that before now, God is not held to a name? All right? Because if he's held to a name, maybe, or let's say they refer to him as the God of our fathers. Okay? So there's no like Tolu, like Ayo, like Sheol. All right? Because if there's a name for him, think about it, and men, they've been dealing with God. This, we are talking about 400 years. Even more, you know, in this case. All right? So he says, what will be the name of, what? Just tell them that, ha, 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 praise God. Look at this. All right? And said, so when they said to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that. KJV says that. New KJV says who. I am who I am. I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent you. What he's saying there is that I you can't box me to a name. All right? Meaning I will be whatever I can be anything. God can be anything to me. You know, I can't be anything. All right? I can't be here, I can't be there. You know, you say I am Ayo. That's, it's limited. All right? I can't be Tony, mean that there's Tony. I can't be, you know, Sandra, in that there's Sandra. All right? But God is saying, hey, you're gonna see. God says, hey, you can't box me to a name. All right? See, you want to know my name? I am anything. Everything. Of course, it's not wicked. It's not evil. You get the point? But he says, I will be who I will be. All right? Now, if you know this, with, you know, in hindsight and in our mind, with what we know about God, I will be everything that I'd proposed to become. Hallelujah. All right? He says, I will be. All right? What? I will be who I will be. So you can't hold me to a name. All right? Whatever I want to be, I will be. That is our God. All right. So the translators, they had a very difficult, you know, challenge in translating this. All right. So the reason, you know, we call him Jehovah, but that Jehovah means I can be anything. We're going to see some today. Praise God. Now let's read Exodus chapter 6, verse 1-3. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1-3. Praise God. Then the Lord said to Moses, now, see, let me again pause and digress. Each time God talks to people, it is a revelation about himself. So the names of God that we have in the Old Testament, all right, is a revelation that God gave to men and women, all right, based on their encounter with him. All right, so you notice now, nobody gave God a definition. So what will I call this God? All right, tell him this, I am. All right, so you notice it was God that appeared to Moses, that God appeared to Abraham. So it's God. So each encounter that we have with God, all right, in the Old Testament, now put that in our mind, because we're going to add to that statement later, all right, it's a revelation of God. Hallelujah. All right. So let's move on quickly. So he says, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of this land. And God spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. All right. I am the Lord. I appeared. No, look at it again. Look at it. I revealed myself to Abraham, all right? I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. In fact, you see, this God Almighty, this God is not there in the originals. It's meaning, I appeared to Abraham as the Almighty. Almighty there means the El Shaddai. All right? Meaning, the multi-breasted God. El Shaddai. The one that can, that is all-sufficient. You get the point? All-sufficient God. Meaning, I don't need anybody to be. I'm just Almighty. Hallelujah. And that's our God, because he will be, his name will be anything, all right, everything, or whatever he wants to be, he can be, all right? But I look at it, he says, he appeared to Abraham by, you know, as God Almighty. But look at it again, he says, but by my name, the Lord. So they didn't know him as the Lord, the one that owns everything. Because who is the Lord? A Lord is, well, say the landlord, someone that owns the Lord, or sorry, that owns the land. That owns, you know, everything. So you see the Lord and his slave. Someone that owns, you know, those people. Hallelujah. All right? But God is saying here that I am the Lord. I own everything. That is my name. All right? He said, by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. So we're going to begin to get to some point in our study. Like I said, we're not going to finalize today. All right? But we'll just study to an extent and, you know, that we can go home today. All right? So, it says, by the name, my name, Lord, I was... So, they know him as the Almighty God, the multi-breasted God. You know why? Because we cannot box God into a name, into a definition. All right? He said, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. All right? But now, the Lord... Or God is revealing himself to Moses as the Almighty God now, all right? But and now as the Lord. Hallelujah. All right? So, I am that I am. All right? I will be whatever I want to be. Praise God. All right? So, whatever and whenever God talks to them in the Old Testament, it was a revelation. And that's why, let's just run through this. They know him as Rapha. All right, we have Jehovah. Of course, when you say Jehovah Rapha, you know, that word Rapha means, we call it God our healer. But you know, it's more than him being a healer. That Rapha means immunity. All right, I give you immunity so that those diseases will not even come to you in the first place. In the very first place. It does heal, no doubt. But the word Rapha means, I protect you against those diseases. Hallelujah. That is his name. That's why. So you can see, and of course, this will be when they were looking for water, all right? So their experiences forms the revelation of God. So when they have an experience and God reveals himself to them, hallelujah, all right? He becomes their name, their understanding of who God is. Again, we call him, you know, they call him Shama. Shama. Shama means the Lord is here. The Lord is here, meaning I can be here. I'm here. Meaning, you don't need to go to whatever to know. All right? You know, let me not preempt it. All right? He's here. He's here. Meaning, I'm close to you. I'm close. That is his name. That is who he is. I'm there. I'm here with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. And that's the revelation. So let me just give you the reference to that. So Jehovah, Rapha, his name being Rapha, immunity healer. We can find that in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus 15, 26. We see God revealing himself in that light. All right. As Rapha. All right. Shama, the Lord is here. You can see that in Psalm 46, verse 1, when it says, the Lord is our very present help in times of trouble. Hallelujah. Very present, very present. Then we have this, we call it Tiskenu. Tiskenu. All right, we call him Tiskenu. Tiskenu. All right. It's our righteousness. The one that justifies me. That's his name. All right? Now, notice all of this. When you know that you are in that name, all right? It gives us that assurance, number one, that God is with me. That's my Shema. All right? It tells me that God is my healer. God is my immunity. You know, Jesus will later tell us, he says, you will take any of these things and you shall touch anything deadly and it shall not by any means hurt you. We're getting there in the point, you know, at some point in this our study. Hallelujah. All right. Then we're saying it's my righteousness. It's my righteousness. Sikenu is my righteousness. You can have that in Jeremiah 23 verse 6. Jeremiah 23 verse 6. Then we have Jireh. All right. We call it, you know, people say, oh, it's my provider. Yes, it does provide. It does provide. But what that name connotes much more is that the one who sees ahead of the need and goes ahead to make the provision. That's what it does. So it goes more, it goes beyond, oh, I need a cup. Then it, no, he knows that I need a cup. Glory to God. All right. He goes ahead. All right. He sees ahead. All right. Of that need. All right. And he makes provision available. That's his name. You see, it's difficult. You can say the difficulty in putting God into a box of it because it will be everything. It will be everything. Hallelujah. Now, let's just move on quickly. Just we have, Rohi. We call him Rohi, all right? God, our Rohi, is our shepherd, the one who directs, the one who leads. David said it. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. That's his name, our Rohi. Hallelujah. Then we have Elyon, Jehovah Elyon. Elyon, praise God, all right? It means the Most High, the Most High. All right. So what that name connotes is that after that height, there's no height. It's the highest. All right. The Most High. Hallelujah. All right. So, however, this is the understanding man has got in the Old Testament. So we're going to read some scriptures now where people understand God in portions. Where we are going today is that, or in this study is that, you know, we don't know God in portions anymore. All right? We now have a name that encompasses all of those names. We'll get there. But let's see the situation of this man of the Old Testament. All right? Their understanding of God was limited. All right? As it was revealed to them. And so will be the names of God that they know. They know him, some will know him as God, our righteousness, God, our, you know, shepherd, and all of those. But let's just see some scriptures quickly today. Praise God. And we'll wrap up. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Please, if you have the Amplified, you can project it. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Praise God. Hebrews 1:1. Look at that. Praise God. Are we together? So the writer of Hebrews started his letter this way. He said, in many separate revelations, is that what we've been discussing earlier? Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah my healer, Jehovah my salvation, my provider. All right, he calls it many separate revelations. See what he calls it. He says, each of which sets what? A portion of the truth. All right? A portion of the truth. All right? So meaning that knowing God as my almighty, as the almighty God, is a portion of the truth. Knowing God only as the almighty God is just a fragment of the old truths about God. Hallelujah. All right? And in different ways, all right, he spoke of old to our forefathers, the forefathers we've read about now, all right, with different names to God, hallelujah. But then look at it in, please put 2 and 3 together. 2 and 3 together, look at it, all right. See, we are not displacing what Moses knew, or Abraham knew, or David said, all right. But then what we are saying is, it's just a portion. We've just read it, right? Now, the forefathers, is Abraham part of them? Moses, Isaiah, all of the fathers of old, what they knew about, it's authentic. I'm not saying they are telling a lie. But we're saying that, hey, it's just a fragment. is a portion of the truth. Hallelujah. Ah, praise God, I like this. He says, but, when you say but, what does he mean? You know, there's more. All right? Yeah, God said this, all right? To our fathers, they said this, they said that, but finally, right, that, because that's what he means in these last days, all right? What has he done? He has spoken to us in the, you know, in the person of a son, all right? Of his son, all right? We know that, all right? Whom he appointed the heir and the lawful owner of all things. Also, by and through whom he created the worlds, all right, and the riches of the space and the ages of that, all right, and all. Now look at it. Now look at that verse 3. Verse 3 is where I'm running to rush into. All right, he says he is the soul. He's the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outreign or radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint. The perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature upholding everything. Now, what we're trying to say is that, you know, that son there will be Jesus Christ, right? So Jesus is the totality of who God is. So the name of God, to know the name of God, so that we don't know him in parts, in portions, in, you know, this truth, that truth, all right? No, okay? The name of Jesus encompasses, all right, is the entirety of who God is. So that outside Jesus, we don't know God. Glory to God. And you know what? We are in that name. Oh, praise God. Let's see some scriptures. Let's still talk about the fathers some more. Wow. 12:1. How did time get to 12:1? So I have to wrap up. Okay. So what we're saying, we'll read about that later next week. Let's move. All right. So we said Jesus is the full disclosure of who God is. Time runs fast when you are here. So I've been talking for about 1 hour. It looks like 15 minutes. Anyway, I'm wasting more time. Praise God. Praise God. Because we need to close now. Okay. Now what we are saying is that we are now in that name. All right. So you are now in the full disclosure of who God is. All right. John chapter one. Let's read the final one. John chapter one. We're going to pick it up from next week. Please don't miss this study. All right. It will give you confidence. All right. Of that name that we bear, that we carry. All right. This study is more of a knowledge based. It will help your knowledge. It will boost your confidence so that you can place a demand. You know, Jesus said it. You will place a demand. All right. And you can ask the Father without any iota of doubt that he will do it or not. No, you will know that he's in that name because it can be everything. It can be anything. The reason what I would say, myself and my God. All right. Because it can be, it will be my helper. It will be my servant. It will be my Lord. It will be my dad. It will be everything to you. Want to get that name. All right. So you will say, oh, I'm helpless. No, he is my help. Hallelujah. You will say, I'm in a straight, well, you're not in a straight place. He says, he's the Lord. He owns everything. And I am in that name. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18. We'll wrap up from there today. Look at it. No man, again, talking about the fathers, right? We're going to pick it up from there next week. No man has ever seen God. We'll put it that in that context, okay? We can't say they've never seen God. Moses said he saw God. But we now know what they saw about God. It was in portion. It was a portion of the truth. Look at it again now, all right? At any time, he says the only unique son or the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, all right, has declared him. That's the point there. He has declared, revealed him, and brought him out where he can be seen. He has interpreted him, and he has made him known. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ, okay, made God known to us. We are looking at what is the name of Jesus. He is God to us. Can we say that? All right, is the totality of God to us. And in that name, we have an inheritance in that name. We have authority in that name. We have provision in that name. We have power in that name. We are not helpless. In that name, we have victory. You know what? In that name, our eternity is secured. Not just, you know, we sang a song just now because the leaves I can face, it's true. My future is secured, it's true. But much more than the future is our eternity. It's our forever secured in Christ Jesus. We just have to stop now, all right? We're going to pick it up next week, all right? What are we doing? Equipping ourselves with the knowledge of the name of Jesus. So you can go confident in that name, knowing that it will never disappoint and it will never leave us alone. Hallelujah.